This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on the Street Vendors Act of 2014 in India. After 8 days on the ground in India and 2 days in the air and endless discussions of the formally named the Street Vendors Protection of Livelihood and Regulation of Street Vending Act 2014, which has become our primary organizing tool since formal passage and enactment on May 1st, 2014, it was clearly time for me to read the full act and understand the handles completely. This is where the promise and problems with the act become clearer. At most levels, the act is everything we'd hoped and said in one marketplace after another and used effectively in the first year of its enactment. Where the licensing of street vendors had largely disappeared years ago, leaving the vast majority of vendors technically operating illegally, the act allows them a path to legalization. Key in paving this road is something the act calls the Town Vending Committee, which is responsible for putting together the plan, surveying the spaces, monitoring the whole operation, and hearing potential grievances. These committees were to be appointed with some permanent members, like the area's medical officer and other government officials, but also members of the nonprofit community, local unions, and associations of vendors. Most importantly, the published bill specified that 40% of the committee, including 30% women, would be composed of vendors themselves to be elected through a locally created procedure by their comrades. Vending committees were all supposed to be up and running within 6 months of the Act's implementation and have their work ready for prime time within a year after passage. And here's where we start to find the rough edges dragging. A year later, most of the town vending committees have not been established, and the draft bill's protections and process for 40% vendor representation may not have emerged in the final form of the Act, leaving even more confusion and more responsibility in local Indian states and cities to freelance the process within the overall guarantees of vendor protection. The Act is also murky on what point the central government steps in to assure the rights if local authorities fumble. The protections are real. There will be vending areas. The vendors will have a right to the streets, sidewalks, and other areas. There is a guarantee of a licensing process and some flexibility allowing there to be a number of licensed vendors up to a ceiling of 2.5% of the population of the ward, city, and so forth, which would allow legalization, identification, and protection against harassment. The problems, though, are equally real. There is no definition of public purpose that would allow removal, even though there is a guarantee of alternate locations. The vendor's protections are mainly familial on license transfers, and the definitions require the vending to be the primary income for the vendor, some of which doesn't align with the realities of the street. The grievance procedure is silent on whether the vendor can be represented by his or her union, which is critical to us, obviously. In short, we have a rough handle which seems certain to force us into innumerable fights in order to translate the general protections into realistic and workable safeguards at the local level. The Act at best is a skeleton that needs to be fleshed out. It's no wonder our union has been growing so rapidly in South India over the last year. Vendors can see the future with hope, but are realistic that without a union, their chances at getting there in one piece are close to zero. To make this work for the vendors in any way, shape, or form will take years and years of difficult battles place to place, space to space, town to town, city to city, and state to state. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.